Arcade. 1, 2, 3, 4. Hello, hello, and welcome to the Paisley Penny Arcade. I'm Mo Abdelbaki, the proprietor. Well, that sounds so weird, proprietor. Well, it's quite proprietous, isn't it? Is there such a word as proprietous? Oh, goodness. Well, anyway, happy Wednesday, and happy summer solstice. It is the solstice. And it's bolstice, and forget it. I'm wearing a poultice. How are ya? What's going on? It's another Wednesday in the world. And the world is just hunkus Doris, don't you think? Just nothing going on. Just a world without anything going on. And it's just all calm and nothing happening. And it's just, you know, just is what it is. And biz is just biz what it is. And that's fine and dandy sugar candy. So I hope you're having a good day. It's not as hot here as it is in Texas. I don't live in Texas. I live in Colorado. And yeah, we've actually had the cessation of rain. Yesterday was a day without rain. Today is a day without rain. Before that, we had about, blasting away at these rocks. There were just these rocks, and we had to, with a pickaxe and a saw, we had to, they had us busting up these rocks. What? I just slip in and out of reality. You know, it's okay. It's okay. It's just getting old. Yep, I remember back we were up on the Wyoming border looking at a statue of Abraham Lincoln. Off the highway, we were walking around inside that thing. We weren't supposed to be there, although I think they'd have closed it off. That's a true story, by the way, on the 4th of July in the year 1975, I think it was. But that's a story for another time. Skinny dipping in a river in Wyoming with some hot springs. Oh my, what a memory that was. Anyway, how are you? I know you're thinking, why am I listening to this? And maybe someone is listening to this. And maybe someone isn't. My chair Squeaky would like to say, hi, Squeaky, have at it. Oh, now Squeaky's upset. Tell you it's bad when even your chair is mad at you. So, yep. I do irritate even chairs. What can I say? What can I say? So, what am I wearing today? How dare you? How dare you? No, wearing my tie-dye t-shirt. A tie-dye t-shirt. I have a few. This is the blue and yellow and red one with some purple in it. That was bound to happen. And some green, that was bound to happen too. It's a very bright shirt, and I sure do like it. Why do I like tie-dye? Well, why not, man? I mean, it's really kind of indicative of life, isn't it? Bright colors and celebration of life and celebration of joy and just, man, let's look at the world. The world is colorful. It really is. There are places where it's not so colorful. I mean, there are places, drab places, dismal places, but they can still be exciting. I'm quite convinced of that. So welcome to the 21st of June of the year 2023. The year 2023. 2 days, it'll be my dad's birthday, the celebration of maybe one of the greatest men I've ever known. Yes, indeed. He would be 98 years old. That's right. That's right. He would have been 98 years old. I don't think my dad would have wanted to live to be 98. Maybe he would have. Boy, did he have a sharp mind. Woo-wee. And I don't think he would have enjoyed losing any part of that sharp mind. He had a little bit of narcolepsy, you know. And I don't think he liked that much. But I don't think they ever did figure out what that was about. But his brother, who was just a wonderful human being, just a wonderful feller, his birthday was just a couple days ago. So his brother, his younger brother, a couple days ago. And then his birthday is on the 23rd. So they kind of bookended the summer solstice, you know. I always look at that and say, there was a special occasion somewhere around there. Because my brothers and my sister, sister's in January, my brothers are both in February. No, my sister's in January, my kid brother's in January, and my other brother's in February. And I'm just completely different. I'm in May. And it turns out, if you kind of pin it down, that conception date's right around my birthday, which really kind of annoys me. It's like, Mom and Dad, what were you thinking? You know? I mean, really? My birthday? Did you have to? You know? Anyway, that's a somber thought. Back to the joyous concept of the solstice. So what is the summer solstice? Well, as the Chinese said, the summer solstice is the longest day of the year and the shortest night. That's pretty cool, you know. It has to do with longitude of the sun. It is said that the sun is at 0 degrees of longitude on the vernal equinox. So the sun then is at 90 degrees of longitude on the summer solstice. It'll be at 180 degrees on the autumnal equinox, which will be in September. And then, of course, it'll be at whatever it is. It moves around, you know. Moves around, and I probably have that wrong. I'd have to sit down and think about it for a while, and I'm just not in much of a thinking mood today. Have you ever been in one of those? I was doing a lot of thinking lately. I've been writing. Found myself writing a book. And didn't expect to write a book. Thought to myself, God, I don't think I really want to write a book. But found myself writing a book about these cards that I had printed up. And I thought, oh, man. Because I wrote a book with my tarot deck, and I just thought, oh, I don't really know that I want to write a book with these cards, but I'm doing it, and it's not going to be a long book, because I don't, so maybe, who knows what's going on here, but you do what you do, you know, you do what you do. So that's what the solstice is. It happens to mark, I think, a very important moment in time. And it happened this morning. I had said for some reason that it was going to be right before, you know, the show, like at 3:58 p.m. my time. And that was just completely off. I don't know what I was thinking. Sometimes I don't know what I'm thinking. I don't know if I'm thinking, how I'm thinking, with whom I'm thinking it. I think sometimes that my brain has been taken over by maybe a newt, you know, or my brain has been taken over by a donkey, you know. Donkeys can take over your brain. And maybe that's what's happened. You know, someone who's never heard this show before on 1-2 Radio is tuning in and saying, I just heard this guy Mo say his brain was taken over by a donkey. What does he mean by that? Yeah, well, you don't know me well enough. But not that they want to after this. Moe's brain was taken over by a donkey. I need to have a cup of my special tea. Maybe that will help me a little bit. Hang on just a second here. Let me have a sip. Mmm. Oh, that's good. Oh, that's really good. It's just tea. Stuff known as Yorkshire Gold. It's actually from England. It's not a big deal. You get 160 tea bags for like $12. Now, that's not bad, you know. And it does taste different than your basic Lipton. You know, it's kind of, it's a little stronger. It's pretty good. And I like to drop a cardamom pod in it. And there you go. Cardamom. People always say to me, what does cardamom taste like? And I always say to them, it tastes a lot like cardamom. They don't like that. So there you are. So the solstice, being the longest day of the year, has some meaning. Now, we're going to do a guided meditation on this show today. And I will be sure and fit it in and not just yak on incessantly without making sure that it gets in, okay? So if I were high, which I'm not, but if I were high, would that be a Tibetan yak? You see, that's a... Well, forget it. All right, forget it. So... what is the importance, the real importance of the summer solstice now? I think it's very important because it says that in the scheme of things, in the measurement of time, that the year is in fact just about half over. It's half full. Okay, all right, you got me. As an optimist, it's half full. But that this year is halfway through. And so there's an importance to that in my mind. Now, in the old days, they watched it very, very carefully. And they knew the longitude of the sun, or the right ascension, as we call it today. They knew the longitude of the sun by seeing where the moon was when it was full. The Chinese marked the months by the new moons. That's what they did. They looked at the new moons. The new moon was kind of the end of the last month, and so the next day was the beginning of the new month. That may seem a little antithetical to you, but that is exactly how they did it. But that's a different story. They marked specifically 24 different specific moments during the month, or the year, starting in February. The third one of those is Insects Awakening. I think that's kind of cool. But they looked at the year as these movements of the sun. So it's a solar lunar year. Now, that's really complicated and kind of wonderful. Speaking of calendars, I've become kind of fascinated with the Mayan calendar. That Mesoamerican calendar that was probably there before the Mayans and the Aztecs. The Aztecs took it from Mayan, they say. But that's a 260-day calendar. Now you're thinking, wait a minute, what 260 days? Why is that? What's that number? What is that number about? Well, that's about the period of, well... there are women, and I suppose some men who keep track of these things too, but women who keep track of their periods with the Mayan calendar. I only found that out because I looked online for an app to kind of show me what, and they use the Mayan calendar. But also the fact that that's part of it, but it's also about the time of human gestation. So that's kind of far out, isn't it? I mean, you think to yourself, wow, interesting thing. So, but it's also the time that it takes for a maize plant to come to fruition. So no wonder there was such a close bond between human beings and maize. because they had both the same basic gestation period from being planted, so to speak, no offense meant, to fruition. And you realize that this calendar is absolutely brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. It's a non-linear calendar. It's circular. And I've been kind of correlating that to the Chinese calendar, which is another true genius bit of work. I've been looking to the ancient Egyptian calendar, too, kind of working with that. And you realize the absolute minds of these ancient cultures. And we're like, you know, with the Gregorian calendar, it's like, wait a minute. Are we so smart? I don't know that we are. But some of these calendars are solilunar, you know, like the Chinese calendar, uses both the sun and the moon. The ancient Egyptians used a solar calendar, a lunar calendar, a civil calendar, a religious calendar. Man, it was rough. They had all these different calendars, and they managed to use them all at the same time, and pretty darn well. And people, they just made it work. I'm really getting off on the Chinese calendar, and I've come up with some interesting idea. Well, another time. That's not what I'm talking about today. I'm talking about the summer solstice. And so one of the things that our ancestors knew in the Northern Hemisphere was that when the summer solstice came around, it was a warning. And what was that warning? Listen, man, the heat is coming. It's going to get really, really hot. And you have to prepare for that. You have to really, really be ready for that. And do what you can in the meantime. Now, the summer solstice is all about the Tropic of Cancer. Okay? So you've heard of that, the Tropic of Cancer. We say that the sun goes in to Cancer on the summer solstice, right? On the 21st. So you Cancerians, happy birthday coming up. But in fact, it hasn't done that in a very long time because of what's known as the precession of the equinox. Now, don't worry about it. Don't get flustered. Don't get upset. You know, there's no reason to panic, at least not yet. So just settle down. Everything will be fine. What is the Tropic of Cancer? For that matter, what is the Tropic of Capricorn? Well, the Tropic of Cancer is an imaginary line, although there's really nothing quite imaginary about it. But if you look at a globe, you know, one of those globes, you look at the globe and you take a look at it, you'll see that there is a line around it. Oh, it goes through south of Egypt on one of your globes there, and it'll say the Tropic of Cancer. You say, okay, well, what is that? That is the furthest, it's the north of the ecliptic. It's the furthest north of the ecliptic that the sun is going to be overhead, directly overhead on the solstice. Okay, now that's pretty high when you think about it. So we definitely see the sun as further over our heads. So, for example, here in Colorado, where I live, the sun is way north of me, right? It's like, you know, it's going to be way north. But at the Tropic of Cancer, it's going to be there, you know, overhead. And the Tropic of Capricorn is south of the equator. It's 22 and about 22 and a half degrees. Has to do with the tilt of the earth upon its axis to the sun. Blah, 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 blah. But because of that, The area between those two, the Tropic of Cancer and the Tropic of Capricorn, those two are called, the area between are called the tropics. Yes? And what is the weather like there? Tropical. Right? And the area above those are called the subtropics. And they're not as bad, right? Florida is in the subtropics. You know, it's not so bad. I lived in Louisiana, which was kind of in the subtropics, you know. So parts of California, I think, are in the subtropics. I'd have to look at a map. So what we have is on the solstice, the sun, on the solstice, the winter solstice, it's on the Tropic of Capricorn, and on the summer solstice, it's on the Tropic of Cancer. So these are the extremes where the sun reaches its extremes of high and low. And so that's that. That's where it is, right? And there you are. And so that's as far high and as far low as the sun will go. And everything in between is known as the tropics. So that, to me, is pretty cool. That's get yourself a globe and you can look at that. And never the twain shall meet. Because if they do meet, then things are very bad on Earth. We're in a very bad spin. But on the solstice, right? This is when the ancients believed that we took in the fire of the sun fully. It was like reaching up and taking it. Now, on the winter solstice, we're the very lowest. That's the lowest point of the sun. It's at its very lowest point on the Tropic of Capricorn. And so we look at that, you know. So, for example, The Tropic of Cancer in Tarot is the Chariot card. That Cancerian card is the Chariot. It makes sense, doesn't it? Who drove the chariot in Greek mythology? Why, that was Apollo. Apollo, remember the story of Apollo when he let his illegitimate son drive that chariot? It's a long story. He had an illegitimate son, and he felt so bad. He didn't even know he had this kid. The kid, you know, tells his mom, who's my dad? And she doesn't want to tell him. And, you know, he guilts her into it. And he goes to Apollo, and Apollo says, I'll give you anything you want. And he says, I want to drive your chariot. And he says, oh, that's a terrible idea. And what's his name? Phaeton, I think, you know. And he says, oh, that's a terrible idea, Phaeton. And he says, oh, no, you said anything I want. So he says, okay, but be careful because these horses are hard for me to handle. And there are these four horses, you know. And they like, I think they ate human flesh, or I don't know what they ate, you know. Some sort of supernatural beans or something because they caught on fire all the time. Excuse me for that, but it just sounded funny to me in the moment. So this kid gets on this chariot and he just wreaks havoc because he can't control them. And they come down and they burn the Sahara Desert into the world. And, you know, they cause all sorts of trouble and they dry up great seas. And finally, Zeus says, I'm sorry, man, I've got to kill this kid. So he throws a lightning bolt and kaboom. And the poor kid is gone. You know, he kills him. And Apollo takes over, you know. That's the chariot, Apollo's chariot, hard to control, and that's the sun. So that's the chariot card in Tarot. That's Apollo's chariot. So everyone says, oh yes, this chariot, it's victory and it's this and that. Man, if you're not meant to drive that thing, you're a goner. You're done for. You've got to know how to drive the chariot. And it can be victory, or it can also be you're done for, kablooey, blown out of the sky. And so that's that. And so there's more to the chariot, of course, a lot more to the chariot. And so Capricorn in Tarot is the devil card. And it's like, wow, That's kind of low, but that's because it's the low point of the sun. So you're thinking, oh, the very lowest point of the sun, well, that's way down at the bottom. And so they, you know, Thoreau is saying, well, that's the very low point. You know, what's down there? What's down there? Well, you know what's down there. So it's a fascinating thing when you kind of get into the mythologies and all that and how people viewed winter and summer. Apollo takes care of that up top, and you know, the goat takes care of the bottom. Capricorn, by the way, is a sea goat. That's what Capricorn is supposed to be. Capricorn is a sea goat. And what is a sea goat specifically? Well, a sea goat is, it comes from one of the incarnations of Vishnu. That's a great story. I should tell that in the winter and not in the summer. Does it matter now? Nah, it doesn't matter so much right now. But it's a story about one of the incarnations of Vishnu. I think it's the sixth. Is it the sixth incarnation? I don't know for sure. I'd have to look it up. But it's about how he saved the world from a flood. And there was a sea goat, but it's part fish and part goat. And it's a great story. And climbs to this top of this mountain. And really is quite a good tale. Yeah, it's a good one, isn't it? Did you get it? Maybe you didn't. But and it's known as a Makara, and a Makara is a crocodile, so it really is a crocodile. So the symbol, instead of being a sea goat, should be a crocodile. And we'll just leave it at that. But anyway, so the Tropic of Cancer is that chariot, and it's fiery, and it's dynamic, and it has to do with control as well. My dad was a cuspy Cancer, but he was quite a guy. So that's that, between them are the tropics. So the idea in the old days was that between the solstice, or on the solstice, they did all sorts of things to make sure that we took in the fire of the earth, because it was very important to get as much in you as you could. Now, interestingly enough, bonfires were lit on the solstice night, because you didn't want to appear like you were hoarding all the fire. That would be a bad thing to do. You want to give a little back, right, and say, oh, no, we're not trying to hoard it. That would be a lousy, lousy thing to do. So the solstice is very, very important. We always want to ring bells on the solstice. So I'm going to do that during the meditation, which we'll do in just a minute here, you know? The more we take in now, and we have to think, I always think of fire and warmth as energy and ideas. Because right now, the longest day of the year, the shortest night of the year, things are going to start changing. You're going to be surprised. You're going to be surprised at how different it is. Oh, in a couple of weeks. Oh, in a month. Oh, 6 weeks from now. How fast the darkness comes. You're going to be surprised how, in about a month or two, how quickly the sun is setting, how dark it gets. It's almost like a roller coaster, the difference between day and night. That's what always amazes me, is how fast the changes come. And if you've listened to me at all in the past, you know how much I love this time in the winter, how much I love the winter solstice and the weeks around that, because you've got those long winter nights, which I think are just lovely, lovely times, because they just embrace us. So, but let's get into the guided meditation so we can have a little fun with that, okay? So are you ready? Because I'm ready. If you're ready, I'm ready. And if I'm ready, well, hopefully you'll be ready. Just sit and relax. All you have to do is sit there. And if you, I know some of you listen to this on the train, you know, you let the lullaby of the wheels or whatever. And some of you listen to it while you're driving. If you're driving, I don't suggest doing it. But that's, no, don't do it. You can always listen to this later. All these shows are on demand at 12radio.com. Okay? All you have to do is go there and you can listen to them. So here we go. Oh, well. Solstice 2023. It is customary to ring a bell on the solstice, so let me begin with that. Once again, let me remind you that if you're driving, you shouldn't close your eyes. Okay. All right. Taking a deep breath. Let it out and relax and close your eyes. You can always do this later. Do this at your whim. Just relax. Sitting in squeaky my chair. Taking another deep breath. Let it out and relax. Happy summer solstice. Mind's eye is a powerful tool, much more powerful than we know in this modern time, but our ancestors knew its power well. The imagination is vibrant. Learning to use the mind's eye is one of the greatest things that we can learn in life. It is the essence of magic, and it is the essence of manifestation. More on that another time, but for now, just see yourself in the darkness, relaxed. Solstice bells, a tradition that goes back thousands of years. Ringing solstice bells. Now you can see that the sun is beginning to rise upon the horizon, and we begin to see a little bit more of our surroundings. And what do we see? But that we are standing in grasses. Tall grasses, grain, where in the middle we are safe. There are no critters around us to bother us. See? We're fine. We're fine. And as the sun rises a little bit higher, we begin to see color. And we can see that this grass that is so plentiful around us and so tall is green. It is still bright, bright green, which means, of course, that it is not ready to be harvested. But it looks healthy and fine and totally wonderful. This is the grain that will feed thousands, maybe millions, in the fall. In the winter to come, in the spring, that will hold us through. This is the bounty that is yet to be harvested, and it surrounds us, and we stand in the middle of it, and this is our potential as well. And on the summer solstice, it is the promise of what is to come. Look around you. You can see that it goes on nearly forever. Look. Run your hands over it. See how firm it is, how it bounces back. Vibrant, alive. Feel the energy from it. Feel the strength of it. Feel the electricity from it. The sun is rising higher. Now look off in the distance, and there you can see a hill rising above all the grain. Now if you look carefully, there's a figure on the top of that hill. You see it? Yeah, someone waving wildly on top of that hill. Someone wearing a tie-dyed shirt, yellow and blue and red. Yeah, someone wearing some beads. Heavyset guy, kind of bald. Oh, it's me. It's me on top of that hill. Yes, yes, yes. And when you hear the bell ring, you're going to join me on top of that hill. Welcome. Welcome to the top of the hill as we look over this magnificent vista of grain that stretches on forever on this, the solstice, the summer solstice. What's the big deal, you think? Well, that's a good question. That's a good question. What is the big deal? Is it really such a big deal other than being the longest day of the year and the shortest night? Well, maybe. Will there be a bonfire tonight? Yes. Will there be a celebration tonight? Yes. Will there be drinking and carousing and fortune-telling tonight? Why, of course, yes. But doesn't that happen a lot? Well, yes. Yes, it does. Because celebration is something we should do all the time. All the time. What will be the next big celebration? Well, that will be Lunasa. Lunasa, which will be coming up in August. That's the Festival of Loaves. That will be the first harvest. That will be proof that there will be a harvest. And that will be the baking of bread. But we're not there yet. There's a lot of work to do between now and then. What work have you been doing? What do you have left to do? The summer solstice is a warning that the hottest part of the year is on its way. The so-called dog days of summer, so named for the star Sirius, which is in Canis Major, or the dog, the great dog, right? Yes. So, here we are, standing on this hill overlooking. Now let's turn around, and down below there is a village, and there is a lot going on. When the bell rings, we will go to the village. Here we are. There is so much going on here. People milling about, there's music. There are jugglers. It's a fair. It's quite a fair. And it's, kind of primitive, isn't it? Doesn't mean that it's primitive times. It just means that it is simple. Because this is something that has been celebrated since we as human beings have recognized ourselves as such. And that has been a very, very long time. We are observant. We know what it is we are. And the sun rises in the sky, and we work faster and quicker to prepare. For this is the summer solstice, the longest day of the year. And there are people in the fields working, and there are people in kitchens working, and there are children playing, oftentimes pretending to work. Too much work for me. Ah, there's so much going on. What is it you want to do? What would you like to do before the work must cease? For you see, between now and Samhain, 5 months hence, between now and Samhain, everything has to get done. Oh, it doesn't mean you can't do things during the winter months, but we have to get things pretty wrapped up between now and then. So this is a time to begin planning while the harvest is still ripening. We need to water it if the rains don't come. We need to tend to it every day and pay attention to what needs to be paid attention to. We need to see what it is that needs to be seen. We need to watch what needs to be watched. We need to value what needs to be valued. This is the summer solstice, the longest day of the year and the shortest night. We must also remember to celebrate. Ring the bell. Ring the bell within your heart. Don't forget to eat. Don't forget to drink. For the sun takes its share. Ring the bell. For this is another year we are here to celebrate the longest day of the year and the shortest night. Ring the bell. Happy solstice. Open your eyes. Celebrate. Celebrate. Ring the bell. Happy solstice. Happy summer solstice. It is joyous for me to be with you. It is an honor and a privilege for me to be here now. It is such a happy thing for me to still be alive on this planet. For me to be able to speak with you and to be here and share time with you on such a lovely occasion as the summer solstice. It is very moving to me, for this is something that has been cherished by our kind for millennia. In different ways, yes, but recognized for what it is. Recognized for an important moment. Something to be looked to. Not just something mentioned by a weather person on TV, but an august occasion. Not just a passing thought, but a moment to be cherished. I cherish it. And I cherish you. You who listen. You who know the importance of the wonders of nature and the mysteries thereof. Around my neck I wear my beads. I realized as I caught a reflection of myself in a sliding glass door today that I felt quite naked without them, for they mean something quite special to me. They are wooden, oak, they have an acorn on them, and they have an Egyptian scarab, winged scarab with the sun, one that is patterned after one inscribed on the tomb or the temple at Dendera, one of my favorites. The symbolism is much, but it is about birth and rebirth and joy and rejoicing and this wonderful life of ours and the happiness that can be had if we only live in the moment and realize the spectacular gift of life as it is. As it is. Right now, we're going through insurance and mortgage companies and contractors and this and that. We have to get a new roof before the winter because our house will be drenched. Our roof was destroyed by the hail. And we don't have the luxury of waiting till next year. The summer solstice is important for us because it illuminates everything that must be done. It is a great to-do list. It truly is. But it is also a great wonder of nature. The days will begin to get shorter, almost as if they are on elastic bands being pulled in. And in light of the impermanence of this existence of ours, what truly becomes vital is the quality of our lives. The quality of being here. The people whom we love. The last thing I ever want to do is hurt someone's feelings. Is to anger somebody. There's so much vitriol in the world. You know, vitriol is synonymous now with anger and irritation. It actually is the universal solvent, alchemically speaking. And is an acronym for visit the interior of the earth, and there through rectification you will find the hidden stone. See if I can do it. Visita interiore rectificando. Let's see. Visita rectificando. In venis occultum lapidum. That's it. Vitriol. And it means search inside of yourself to find the hidden stone. Vitriol is not meant to be aimed at others. It is meant to be used upon yourself to improve yourself, not to be shot out at other people in anger and in spleen. It is meant to be used upon yourself to dissolve away the anger and the self-criticism and the guilt and the hatred. All of us hold grudges. Life is too beautiful, too wondrous. And yet, Facebook exists. Twitter exists. These are ammo dumps of anger and grudges, and yet they can be places of such love if we allow them to be. And yes, we could be ridiculed, and yes, we can be attacked, and so what? We do not have to take up defenses. We do not have to take up some sort of protective stance. Words are just that. We have nature on our side. We have the warmth on our side. Visit the interior of the earth. Look to the inside of yourself. Rectificando, through self-rectification. In venis, you will discover invention. Occultum lapidum, the hidden stone. The hidden stone, the philosopher's stone, is within us, as above, so below. We are remarkable beings. But then so is every dog, and so is every cat, and so is every dragonfly, and so is every frog, and lion, and hawk, and serpent, and rabbit, and duck, and eagle, and cow, and yak. So is the wind. So are the elemental forces. Everything is remarkable upon this planet. And we should recognize that. And if we don't, then we are the losers. But you who are still listening, you understand the power of life and the power of consciousness and the power of being here now and the pettiness that surrounds us. So be happy today. And if you're listening to this after the solstice, celebrate every day you can. In 2 days, I will celebrate my father's birthday as a day upon which a remarkable man came to this planet. A remarkable man who helped give me life so that I might then turn and give life to my children, who then turned and gave life to my grandchildren, who will then turn and perhaps give life to my great-grandchildren. There are miracles waiting to happen for all of us. All we have to do is believe in them and allow that mind's eye we have to create them. All right? Have a wonderful week. Have a wonderful time. There is so much that we can do. Don't you ever doubt it. Don't you ever give up. We are all magical. Don't you ever stop believing that. Until next week, I wish you all peace and love. Talk to you later. Bye.
Until next we meet, I'll be waiting for you right here in the Paisley Penny Arcade. 1, 2, 3, 4.